Scripture today is from Luke chapter 8, verse 15 to 18, which is part of the parable of the sower. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. No one, after he has lighted a lamp, covers it with a vessel and puts it under a dining table couch, but he puts it on a lampstand, and that those who come in may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that shall be not disclosed, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come out into the open. So be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And for him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away.
Amen. Thank you, Jocelyn. I'll take that. Well, we are finishing off our series on the parable of the sower. So much of you have those books with you, but they look just like this. So we are on the final chapter, chapter 10. And so this will be the last one, but this series has been such a blessing. I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot just from going through and unpacking the parable of the sower. And I know we've been talking about it in our growth group and in our men's and ladies' discipleship, and just taking that time to just consider, because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand the others? So when we take this time to understand what Jesus has said, there is a lot of power in this. So I think if you don't have this, Margaret can pass them out if you need them, but we do have them here. All righty, move this too. Well, we're going to start off in prayer this morning, because the Lord, me as a natural person, I've got nothing to say, but God and his grace, he's got a lot of things to say to us this morning. So Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we have together. And the understanding of your word, because it says in your word that the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. And so, Father, we come in expectation to hear and to receive from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've looked at the parable of the sower and all the different types of soils that there are. And we as a church, we want to be that good soil. So Jocelyn read that from Luke chapter 8, in verse 15, it says, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, and in an honest and a good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." So the good soil, we are those who hold fast to God's word, we act on what we know to be true from his word, and we bear fruit with patience. So that is us. So we talked about, over this series, we talked about what the seed is, and we know what Jesus says, that the seed is the word of God. We know that our hearts are the soil. And so just like in science, you have the constant and the variable. Well, the constant is the word of God. That is always the same. The variable is the soil, which is our heart. And so we decide the condition of our heart. So there are four different types of soil. So there's the road, those who hear the word, but they don't understand it. And so the devil comes immediately and takes away the word. And then there's the rocky soil, which they hear the word and are excited about it. But as soon as trials come, because of the word, they fall away. And there's the thorny ground. These are the ones who hear the word. And as they go on their way, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things come in and it chokes the word. But then there's the good soil, and this is us. The good soil hears the word, holds it fast with a good and a noble heart, and patiently bears fruit. So the condition of our hearts is our choice. And so we're going to talk about how to be that good soil. So the good soil holds fast to God's word. They act and patiently bear fruit. So we hold fast to the word of God. Why do we need to hold fast to the word of God? Because if you look at the other types of soils, they let the word of God go. Number one, because Satan was after it. Satan came after the word and stole it immediately. because problems arise to take away the word, and distractions and worries and the cares of this life, they come and they choke the word. So when you don't understand the value of something, you don't understand the importance it is to keep it. And I say this as an example. If my mom is listening, I'm really sorry, Mom. Still love you through all this. But my mom, she's from Canada, and in spite of the cold weather, she has the most amazing garden that she has slaved over years of sweat, blood, and tears into this thing. And every summer, for 2 months out of the year, it flourishes. And so when we have that 2 months of summer, it can be anywhere from like 18 to sometimes 30 degrees if we're really blessed. But usually it's like 18. And then there's like rain and all this stuff happens. And so what will happen is that we get these beautiful thunderstorms. And they like it looks beautiful, like the dark clouds come in and like, you know, like humidity, it's there. Canada doesn't have that. It's just dry and cold. But you still get these thunderstorms that come in. And so she has these beautiful plants. And the first thing, as soon as she sees the thunderstorm come, she sends out all of her children to go in to cover these plants. Now, it doesn't matter if it's hailing, if there's lightning, if there is crazy winds where cars are being flipped over, she will send us out to make sure that they are covered. And so I remember, not so much me, I kind of sat back and watched my brothers do it. But my brothers would go out there with these like blankets and quickly cover the plants. And so they will cover these plants, or they'll bring these like huge, like, and they're planters. They're like this kind of size, and they'll bring them underneath the covering, because to my mom, the value of her plants was worth the sacrifice of her children. And so when it comes to the word of God, it's the same kind of thing. You want to protect and guard that word the same way my mother would guard her plants. And seriously, when you're in Canada, you have very little time to appreciate the flowers and the plants. So those 2 months were very valuable to her. But it's the same way. When you understand the value of something, you will do whatever it takes to keep it, to protect it, to cherish it. And that's what it comes to be the good soil, is that we understand the value of the word. And so that's why we don't let it go, because we are aware that everything around us is after the word. And we want to protect that word, and we keep it in our hearts. So how do we hold fast to God's word? Luke 8:18, I'm not sure if it's on there. I didn't make a slide for my verses. I just made slides for my points. But Luke 8:18 says, "So take care how you hear. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." So notice how Jesus says, take care how you hear. He doesn't just say, take care of what you hear, which he does say that in other versions of the same parable, like in Matthew and Mark. He says, take care what you hear. But in this one, he says, take care how you hear. And so it's an interesting thing to understand and to even to consider, how am I hearing the word of God? Because it's up to us to determine how much we will receive. So we are aware of what we hear, because we want to protect our hearts, because we don't want to just listen to anything and everything. We want to pay attention to the way we hear things. And so that being said, the way we approach God's word will determine the kind of soil that we are. So based on the different types of soil, people who have hearts that are like the road, those are the ones where they heard the word, but because they didn't understand it, they didn't think anything of it, Satan came immediately and took away that word. So they kind of sound like this. They would say, this word, this makes no sense to me. This isn't relevant for me. I don't care. So that's how they would talk. That's how they would consider, and it's how they would approach the word. They think it's irrelevant to them, that this is some book that was written years ago. It's not relevant to them today. Relevant to them today. That's not us. The rocky soil sounds like this. So the rocky soil are the ones who have heard the word, and with joy they are excited, they receive it. But then as soon as a problem comes or a trial comes because of the word, they let it go. So that's this kind of soil. And they sound like, I've tried that. I've tried what the word of God says, but it doesn't work. I've tried giving. I've tried walking in love, but it doesn't work. They were excited about it at one point when they were sitting in the service and hearing, thinking, yes, this is my answer. This is going to work for me. But then as soon as a test comes to try and see if they believe the word, they just let it go. And then the thorny ground, those are the ones who hear the word, and they're also excited about it, but then they get distracted by other things. So the cares and the worries and anxieties of this world, and even the deceitfulness of riches, those kinds of things, they come in and they choke the word. So the thorny ground sounds like, yes, I believe God's word, but I don't have time to make it to church on Sunday. I don't have time to spend time and have that quiet time with the word of God. I don't have the opportunity to serve, or I don't have the time for that kind of a thing. So they believe the word, but they don't prioritize it in their life because there are other things that are more valuable to them. Again, that's not us as a church. This is what the good soil sounds like. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I believe what God has said in his word, and I will not be moved. That is what the good soil sounds like. That they are so aware that when trials come, they don't let go of the word because they understand that the word is the answer that they're looking for. Or when distractions try and come, or the worries of this life come and try to pull them away from the word, they say, no, I know that this is my final authority, that what God has said in his word is what I am standing on, and I will not be moved. That is the good soil. That is our hearts, where we refuse to let it go, because what else has the power to change one's eternity but the gospel, the word of God? What else has eternal value? When everything around us in this world is so subject to change, but the word of God is eternal. What else has the power to transform a person's life and to transform a person's circumstance but the word of God? What God has said is final authority. When I say final authority, I mean that what he has said, it takes place, first place in our hearts. That we may get a report from a doctor. We may have a bank account statement that says one thing, but we don't let that move us because we are standing upon God's word. We hold it fast. We keep his word first place. I remember I was listening to a minister. He was talking about this because he was just thinking about like the precious word that he has heard. And I am also very thankful to like my parents and stuff as well, of just like the teaching that we have received. Because the things that we're hearing, like when we're coming on a Sunday morning, the fact that you're here right now is because you believe what God has said, that this is more important than going to a cafe on a Sunday morning. I was when I was getting our morning coffees, actually, I was talking to the ladies at the counter, and they were like talking about, oh, so are you going to work? You're all dressed up. I'm like, no, I go to church just across the street there. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. You go to like a church on Sunday. She said, and she was telling me a bit of her story, that when she grew up in church. But she said, like, you know, once I got old enough, she's like, I realized, oh, you know, there's other things that I could be doing on a Sunday morning than going to church. And I remember thinking, this is a really odd thing to be telling me, but whatever. And then so I told her our location of, you know, what we overlook the lake and stuff. And she's like, wow, when if I go to a church, I want that kind of a view. It's like, yeah, it's nice. But I just find that interesting, like the value of God's word in our life. Look at where you are right now. And can we take credit for where we are, the goodness that God has done in our lives, the fact that we are born again, that we have eternity in our future, that we have the blessing of God, that we have our families, we have a job, we've got provision, we've got food, and the most important thing is we have revelation and light of his word. That is how precious it is. And the fact that we are all here this morning is because we're believing that God has more light for us. And the more light we have, and then we act upon that light, the more fruit we will produce. And the more fruit we produce, the more that people will look at our lives and see, wow, how are you doing that? How are you walking in the blessing of God and the healing of God and the provision of God and all these things? And it's because we value and we prioritize the word of God. And this minister I was like listening to, he was saying to the Lord, like, Lord, I'm just so thankful for the word that I have heard. It's not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of religion that you don't understand, or a criteria that you cannot keep, no matter how hard you try. He said, I understand, like, I was given your word, and I was given light and understanding that because of it, my life is just full of your goodness, full of your faithfulness. And even that when we go through trials, it's not the end of the world. There's always a way out because your word has a promise for it. And as he was praising the Lord said to him, he said, I gave you my word because, number one, I knew you would value it. And number two, I knew you would do something with it. That's the heart of the good soil. We value what we have heard, and we don't just let it sit there. We then act upon what we have heard. So every time you read the parable of the sower, think of yourself as that. I am the soil that values the word of God, and I act upon it. So one of the best ways we can keep the word of God in our hearts is to simply act upon it. The good soil approaches God's word with expectation to understand and to act upon what they hear. So again, when Jesus said, be aware then, take care then of how you hear, you come and you don't just sit there and think, oh, here we go. How long is this preacher going to speak for? It's been like 20 minutes. Like, that's plenty of time. That's not the attitude that the good soil is going to hear and to be able to act upon what they've heard. When you come in and you sit in a service or you're listening to a sermon on YouTube or even in your quiet time and you're reading God's word, come with that expectation to say, Lord, show me what you have said in your word. Help me to understand things from your word. I love the scripture from Psalm 119, and he says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And then when you do that, you're stirring up the faith that's already on the inside of you and opening up your heart so that you can receive what God has for you. And he will give you light. You can never come to this word and think, well, I know it all now. I've heard everything. I am at my max. I know it all. You've just cut off your supply of receiving any more revelation, knowledge, and light. If you approach the word like that, that is prideful. But when you approach the word of God, open my eyes. There is more for me to see. There's more for me to understand. Then he has that. You have that heart where you're open to receive. Because, God doesn't give light to just anyone. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Revelation and illumination and light is so precious. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 10, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear. And then he says, but hear the parable of the sower. So the disciples, they were able to hear and to receive more light and understanding from God's word. Everyone has the opportunity to hear, but there is a deeper level of insight and understanding for those who will value his word. So take care how you hear. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Do we have Luke 8:18 again? Can we just bring that up? So take care how you listen. So for whoever has, what do you have? For whoever who has what? He's talking about light. Whoever has light, to him more light shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away. Now, this is always interesting to me because it's about how you approach the word, how you approach the word of God. So to whoever who has, to him more shall be given. So whoever has that light, What are you doing with that light that you have? If it's just sitting there lying dormant, it's not actually being planted in your life. Because what if you took a seed and you just threw it on the ground, on really healthy soil? But is it going to do anything if it's just sitting on top? It has to be planted in for the seed to take root and for what is in that seed to produce. And so the same thing with our heart is that when we hear God's word and we value it, but then when we act on it, it's actually being planted in our hearts so that what we've heard has the opportunity to produce what it's meant to do. Because he's watching over his word to perform it. And so when we act upon it, then God says, then you are blessed in what you're doing because you're acting on what he has told you to do. So when you have more light and you act on that and you act on what you know, then more light comes. And then when more light comes, there's more fruit. But then those who do not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away. Now, this is where the deception comes in. When you think you know something, that can be the dangerous thing. And when you're like, I remember talking to someone about, because they were believing God for healing. And so, well, I said, well, you mean know what the word says, that by his stripes we were healed? And they said, yeah, I know, I've heard that. And right there, I was like, well, if you don't believe that, where are we going to go from here? Like, it just cut off any light or any grace to be able to step out to help her in that situation. So we never want to come with that attitude of, yeah, I've heard that already. I remember when it was my first week in Bible college, and coming from a pastor's home, I'm like, okay, guys, I know it all. Trust me. I was raised in this stuff. I know. I already did Bible college before, and I'm just here because, well, God told me to be here. So, you know, that was my attitude, and it's so embarrassing to think about now. But I learned. But I remember it was like our first week in Bible college, and they were talking about prayer, and so we just were gathered together into like just these small groups, and we're like spirit-led prayer. We're just praying. And then this lady who I just met, and she was probably in her 70s, late 70s or so, and she said, Chloe, I just want to just say some things to you just to encourage you. And I remember thinking, I don't need encouragement from you. Trust me. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing here. I don't need any encouragement. And so she said all these things. But because of the way that I approached this situation, I received nothing. Because by the end, the last couple of things that she said to me were so exactly what I needed to hear. But it didn't get in because I was so prideful. And to this day, I was like, oh, man, like, Lord, I am sorry that was my heart attitude when you were trying to say something to me to encourage me. Because, I mean, she didn't know this, but, like, the night before, I'm, like, in tears because I'm so homesick and all these things are questioned through your mind. And God had an answer for me, but I did not hear it because I was so prideful about it. And when I say that, I mean, obviously, please be aware when people say, I have a word for you, like, don't just take it all because that's not what this is about. Like, we receive what God has said through his word and what God has already spoken to us in his word and in our hearts. That's what is number one importance. But there are times when you need encouragement and you need help that God will use other people to encourage you. But just be aware of those kinds of things. So the way that we approach, so to whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And I thought I had it, and I did not. And it was I missed out on that. But then the good thing is that we can decide the condition of our heart. And so after that, I said, Lord, that's not going to be my heart anymore. I want to be that good soil. I want to be open and tender-hearted and a humble heart so that what you have for me, I can hear and to receive it because I know that I need light. You know, out of all of the things that Paul could have prayed for the Ephesian church and the church in Colossae, what does he pray for? He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would know the hope of your calling. He doesn't pray, oh God, please heal them. Oh God, please bless them. Please be with them. None of this stuff. He says, Lord, I pray that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. Because when you have light, it's light because everything that you already are, when you became born again, everything that you would ever need is already on the inside of you. What needs to happen now is for our minds to understand who we already are. And that's why it's light, because it's like that word, like revelation. If you look in the Greek, it actually means like if there's a curtain just here and someone pulled back that curtain, all that background, like those trees and that water, that was there the whole time. It's just that the curtain was pulled back so you can now see it. And so that's exactly what this light is. It's not that something you discovered something new. It's no, that now you are able to see it, because the curtain that was once blocking and blinding you has been removed, and now you can see it. Or your perception and how you view things has changed, because only the Word of God can change the way a person thinks. Only the Word of God can change a person's perception. Because, I mean, there is positive thinking. Positive thinking is good. But then there is another level, because there are some things in our minds that need to change. And strongholds that are built up in our minds that need to change. And only the Word of God can do that. And so when we come and we approach the Word of God with the heart that says, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And he is so faithful to do that for you. And even if you're not getting it, like there's times sometimes where I'm like, Lord, like I want to know these things. I want to understand them. But what if I'm missing it? What if I'm missing it? And I would panic. And then he would so calmly just speak to my heart, Chloe, if you're not getting it, I will make sure that you do. Because the entrance of his word, it gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple. Praise the Lord. For anyone who can be simple sometimes, it gives understanding. That's what his word does. So when we come and we approach the word, we don't approach it like it's a textbook where you have to memorize it and try to come up with, what did he mean by that? Why did he go to Jericho at that time of day and with this kind of, like, it's not a textbook. When you approach the word of God, it's God breathed his thoughts, his life into what he has said in his word. And so that's why it can only come from him. So when we sit and we have our quiet time, it's, Father, show me what you said. And we have the author of the book. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So we don't have to go into all of these, like, Google, what does it mean in Mark 11:24. We don't have to Google that. We can just ask him, because it's a relationship, right? I don't know how I got off on that, but it's good to know. So take care how you hear. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks to have, shall be taken away from him. So we act upon what we know to be true. Because once that light comes in, now we can act. So I know, I think Pastor Grant actually mentioned this story from Brother Hagen. Brother Hagen is a minister that they trained directly under, and I trained under through video. But he was talking about a time when he was reading the Word of God, and he got to Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And because beforehand, he made that determination of, okay, Lord, whatever I see in your word, I'm going to do it. And then he got to Matthew chapter 6 about not worrying. Is like, I am a champion worrier. My mother was a champion worrier. My grandmother was a champion worrier. How is this even possible? And so he kind of left it and kind of went on. And then he said it got very dark in that room, because all of a sudden he saw something in the Word of God, but he wasn't going to act on it. And that's as far as he could go. He said as far as he could go until he went back to it and started acting upon what he knew to be true. So he started to resist worry. And he would speak to worry and telling it to go. And then he said once he started doing that again, then he again began to receive more light, more illumination. And I know the same thing for my own life too. When I remember God told me one time to, when I was really dealing with some stuff, and I heard so clearly from the Lord to talk to my mother about this situation. And I didn't want to, because it would require a lot of open and honesty. And when you're living in sin, that's the last thing you want to do is to expose it. So I remember I was praying and I was reading my Bible and it came to my heart, like, Chloe, I need you to talk to your mom about this. And I remember thinking, nope. I just closed my Bible, walked away. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And oh man, it got like in my own heart, it was tough. It was dark. And I don't want to say dark because it like God did anything, but just because I was going against my conscience, which is what Pastor Grant preached on 2 weeks ago. I highly recommend watching that sermon if you missed it. But my heart was darkened because I was going against what I knew to be true. Because when God says something to you, what is that? It's light. It's an opportunity for you to act upon what he's given you. And you know that when God tells you to do something or you see something from his word, it's only going to be good. It's only going to bless you. It's only going to bring life. And at the time, being a young teenager, I was like, no, this is going to be like the end of my life. Things are going to explode and I'm going to lose everything. And that was so not true. But it wasn't until I acted upon what God said that he was able then to bring more light of where I needed to be in that situation. Because at the time, I was 19 years old, didn't have a clue where I was going in life in the sense of, like, I knew I was supposed to come to Australia, and I knew I wanted to be in ministry, but I didn't see any opportunity. I didn't see how it was going to happen. So I was working as a personal trainer, recently graduated Bible college from my dad's Bible college, and just frustrated with life. And so I'm seeking God, like, God, I need direction here. What do you want me to do? And so that's when he says, I need to tell your mom about what's going on in your life. And I didn't realize that was him giving me the first step to what he had for me. I wasn't acting upon what he showed me. And so it wasn't until I did tell my mom, and we went through some things, but it wasn't long after that when I came home from work, and I was like, okay, Lord, what is next? And he said, Rhema, Australia. And praise the Lord, 9.5 years later, I am living off of that one word. But it started from, Chloe, I need you to do this. That was that light that he gave me. And then when I acted upon it, then more light came. And he directed me to right to where I needed to be. And so maybe that could be yourself when you're wondering, God, what do you want me to do? What do I do next? Well, go back to what he's told you to do already. What has he already spoken to you? And then when you do that, like it says in his word, more light will be given. To whoever has, more will be given. So you may be living off of that one word for a long time. And that's okay. If you look in the book of Acts, Paul heard something from the Lord when God said, fear not, Paul, you will preach this message into, I can't remember what city he was in. But the next scripture says that Paul stayed there for 2 years. 2 years he stayed there from that one word of saying, I need you to preach here. So just, we don't have to constantly look for something new. Just act upon what you know to be true. Do we have James 1:25? It says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, talking about the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So rather than being a forgetful hearer, because how many of you know that you can hear something, but just because you hear it doesn't mean you know it? Or just because you hear it doesn't mean you're acting upon it. So we don't want to be that forgetful hearer, but we are an effectual doer. We receive the word, we hear the word of God, we receive understanding, we receive light, and we have that expectation of, I'm going to act upon what I've heard to be true. I'm going to act upon what God has told me to do, and I'm not going to be persuaded by anything else. I am not going to let the worries and the cares of this life take away the word of God. I'm not going to let other desires and other distractions choke the word of God. Because I know that his word is my final authority. And the last thing, it says that the good soil, they bear fruit with patience. Because you talk to any farmer, or my mother who likes flowers, You know that when you plant a seed, it's not going to come up right away. It's going to require patience. And so that's why this good soil, this heart condition, it's a lifestyle. This is how we live. We don't just try the word of God. We do the word of God because it's our life. His word is our life. It's what we stand upon. And because as you would also know, with perseverance and with patience, we bear fruit because everyone's going to go through something. The storms of life are going to come and they're going to try and take away that word. But the good soil holds fast to that word and we bear fruit with patience. And that patience, another word for it would be perseverance or endurance. Sometimes you need to endure. You say, I have refused to let go of the word of God. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up. I remember Paul in the book of Acts chapter 20, when the Lord told him that you're going to appear before Caesar. And so Paul already knew that he would be having to go through a lot of stuff to appear before Caesar. And all these people were saying to him, like, oh, Paul, don't go, because this is going to happen, don't go. And Paul's response is, I love his response. He says, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. He says, I just want to finish my course with joy. And so the good soil, that's what it sounds like. We hear the word of God. We keep it. We act upon it. We bear fruit with patience. And we say when things try to take out the word, when things try to pull on it or choke it, we just kind of stand it on the word of God and say, none of these things move me. None of these things are going to take God's word from my heart. None of these things are going to take God's word from my mouth. None of these things are going to take God's word from my home. None of these things are going to take God's word from my children. None of these things are going to take God's word from what he has called me to do. I am fixed, trusting in the Lord. That is our heart. That is the good soil. Well, we're going to sing. What can we sing, Hosanna? Unless Pastor Grant, you have anything to add or say? Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Chloe.